were the minor prophets. They're those 12 little books at the back of your Old Testament. And books like Amos and Joel and Obadiah. Obadiah is what? It's the shortest what? Book in the Old Testament. Okay? Obadiah. What we're trying to do is take our attention and focus it on these little books and figure out what these little books are saying. They're books on prophecy. They're books on judgment. Okay? So if you're here with us and go, well, all Clark ever does is talk about judgment. Well, that's where we're at. Okay? That's what this is. These guys, many of them, and if they're ones that preceded them, were murdered, were killed for what they had to say. Their message wasn't popular. And people didn't like it. And the guy today, his message wasn't popular at all. And you're going to see it here in just a second. So we're majoring on the minors. We're also, when we study, we're trying to figure out what the folks were judged for that they made a big deal out of, and we're trying to minor on that in our life. You hear this guy? I have to admit, one of my favorite guys in the Bible. I love this guy, Amos. You know, people have asked me, is this the guy that made the cookies? No, this is Andy's brother. No, I mean, this is Amos. Amos, okay? Amos. I just like Amos. Can y'all say that with me? Amos. There we go. Amos. You just know that. Amos. I like Amos. Anyway. Look at that. You know what this is? Those are figs. Figs. You know what Amos did? The Bible says that he picked sycamore fruit, which is like figs. So we know what Amos was. Here's what he was. Put it up there, Rod. He was a fig-picking preacher. Amen. Why don't you say that? Come on now. Get you relaxed. You need to do something. No, I just came back from promise here. Here we go. He was a fig-picking preacher. All right? So don't you remember that? There we go. Fig-picking preacher. You know right there, it's going to be interesting if you got yourself a fig-picking preacher. You know what I mean? So let's see what happens. Let's go to the message today. It's nine chapters long. We can't take the whole nine chapters of Amos, but I want to share a few verses. This is one I thought was very interesting about a plumb line. A plumb line is a straight line. Carpenters, people that know, they're in the building business, they know what a plumb line is. The way these walls get straight in this building is somebody, as they were laying this block, they put a line on it, a straight line. As every row of block was moving, that line would move up. A piece of string, and it would be a straight line. Okay? And that's sort of the idea of a plumb line. Helps keep things level. Helps keep things straight. If you don't have a plumb line, something to help you level things out when you're building, the whole place will be crooked. Now, it'll look good when you start and you get done. You go, holy smokes. You know what I mean? And here's the deal with Amos. His job was to lay it on the line straight. His job was to tell them how it's going to be. His job was to say, the gig is up. Okay? God has a way. Walk in it. You ain't doing it. Judgment's coming. Okay? Let's look at scriptures. Let's just see what it said right off the bat here. Amos 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, Amos talking, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what do you see? He said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with sword. Whoa! The big picking preacher. How'd you like that job? To tell them what was going to happen. How God was going to judge. It's easy to tell people how they're doing it right, isn't it? It's easy to take to it. Somebody say, well, that's really nice. You know, that's a nice job. It's not easy when the wife tells you, now, I didn't like that. You know, it's not easy, is it? Hard job, job of a prophet. The big picking preacher. Let's get into this book now. There were several nations that are prophesied about in this little book of Amos. It's not just about the nation of Israel, but primarily it is. And so that's where we want our focus to be today. We want to focus in these nine chapters. We can't do them all. So let's focus on Israel and what Amos had to say about Israel. The time frame was about 775 B.C. And a lot of folks might wonder, how do we come up with those dates? The Bible, a lot of folks in our world believes the Bible's a myth, it's not true, blah, 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 a lot of men put it together. That's a bunch of bull, okay? At Fellowship, we believe the Word of God is perfect.
Amen.
Flat out. And I'm not going to be the kind of pastor that's going to, I said it in the early service, that's going to hold the Bible in his hand, and well, if it's true, it's funny how we can believe Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, you know, born of earth, all that stuff, and oh, I accept the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus, amen, but you got all this, that, and the other. What is that? Amen? I mean, the Bible is true. You either accept it or you don't.
Amen.
I mean, how would you like to do that with somebody? Oh, I love you, Chad, but you know, I don't believe a thing you say. That'd be a bunch of mess, wouldn't it? Say. And that's how it is with God, but since we can't see Him and He don't talk back, we can live life like that. That is not the way you ought to look at your Bible. We believe the Bible is absolutely true. And here's just something to help you, I think. How can we date it at 775 B.C.? Let's keep moving, Rod. Because Israel was under the reign of King Jeroboam II. See, the Bible doesn't make up these characters in the Bible, you know, like these are just names of people that never existed. These are real people. And King Jeroboam II was a mighty king. And you can read about him in history. So dating the book of Amos is a no-brainer. It's from about 775 to about 740 when Assyria took over. And Jeroboam II was the ruler. You ought to just lay it down. It's not going to fly just saying that Bible's a myth stuff. It's history. It's historical. It's the Word of the living God. Our best advice I can give you today is sell out totally to Jesus Christ and bank it all on the book. All of it. Quit messing around. Quit waffling. Let's look at what the book says. And history says about Jeroboam II. He was a very able and idolatrous king, a great mind, but he was an idolatrous king, and he ruled over the people of God. Secondly, Israel prospered under him. Unbelievable prosperity came to Israel under Jeroboam II. And thirdly, Israel became very powerful under his leadership. Okay, let's go right now to the history book. Just got this right in the history book. Here it is. He was the son of Jehoash. He was the 13th king of who? Israel. Look at the day. Shazam. Okay? During this time frame is when this was written. Jeroboam's father opened the way to prosperous reign by his recovery of the territory which had been lost to Syria under Jehoaz. But Jeroboam II resolved to carry this program even farther and extended the northern kingdom to Hamath, the boundary of Solomon's empire. The revenue which poured into Samaria from these tributaries brought Israel to a period of prosperity unknown since the time of Solomon. So this was not a no-name king. This is it's a big dog, all right? It's a big deal. He's a big man. And it's important that you know that as we walk through this little book. We're measuring our minds. I hope you're not bored stiff. It'll get better here in a second. Hang on. Here we go. A couple of things about the area we'd like to lay out. When you think of Israel in the Bible, a lot of times you hear northern kingdom, southern kingdom, you'll hear Israel, you'll hear Judah, or all these different places. No, it's the same area. But Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, or the 10 tribes. And then you've got, that's Samaria this way. By the way, the holy place in the northern kingdom, the place of worship, was a place called Bethel. And that's where the ladder appeared to heaven, and Jacob had to talk with God and all that stuff. And that's where Jacob's name was changed to what? Israel. So that became the place, the holy place up here in this area. And of course, the southern kingdom was Israel. It was also called Judah. And we would all know where the place of worship there would be. It would be what? Jerusalem. Okay? So that gives you a little bit of background on what's going on. And Jeroboam reigned up in this area in the northern kingdom. Very, very powerful man. Now let's keep moving. Here we go. Let's get to the guy. This is what I want to do. Get to Amos. Here we go. Let's get to Amos. And the best way we can get to Amos this morning is going right to the book of Amos. Okay? And yes, I put the scriptures on the screen up here, but I think it's important if you have your Bible, you take notes, you can write little things, little verses, things like that. But I really enjoy it putting on the screen. In case you don't have a Bible, it's fantastic for us today. Let's look at it. Amaziah the priest. We're going to see him in just a second. He was the head honcho priest. Guys you love to hate. Okay? He was in the hip pocket right there. of Jeroboam. Okay? He was the priest. He was the king's priest, which is going to tell you a lot about him, right? If you've got an idolatrous king, and the priest over the people is in that guy's hip pocket, he's a sorry, no good dog, ain't he? That's right. That's what he is. And you're going to find out in just a minute. And I'm telling you, you don't want to mess with a big picking preacher. But this guy does. Let's keep looking. He points the finger at Amos the prophet. Let's keep moving, Raj. And when you've got a big shot priest going at it with a big picking prophet, you gotta what? Fight! I love this. I love a good fight. You like fight? I love it. You don't like it? You like it? See, I've got my son off to college now, and what am I gonna do when boxing comes on? And my wife is going to say, I hate that. I don't know why I'm getting this. Like, I don't know why I'm that. I hate that. Lisa Mitch was there. Why would I like it? We won't like it. Now I'm all alone. I'm outnumbered. So what am I going to do? Anyway, so here in the Bible, you got a fight fixing to happen. You got a fight fixing to happen because Amaziah points a finger at him. Let's see what happens. Here we go. Let's go to the Bible. Chapter 7, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. Then Amaziah, the priest of what? Bethel, that's that holy place of worship in the northern kingdom, right? That's the spot. That's where all the prophets hung out. All right? So he's the priest of that place. I mean, you can't get no more up on the ladder than that. So here he is. He sent to Jeroboam. So this priest in the hip pocket of the king sent to Jeroboam, who we've already discovered was a mighty man, a mighty ruler. Expanded the kingdom, the greatest since Solomon. So he sent to him, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Don't you just hate that kind of man say? When you got a priest that's pointing a finger and telling on the preacher. Amen? Because he's so fat and comfortable and lazy because he ain't doing his job and he doesn't want his little world wrecked. So he points to the man, he points him out, he points him to the thing. And by the way, this ain't like he was telling his sister or something. He's telling the guy who is the greatest king who can just absolutely annihilate Amos. This is horrible what he does. So he tells on him. Let's keep going. Verse 11. Did we read verse 11? For thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die. Amos said, you're going to die. How would you feel if a king, you know, you got a guy running around saying you're going to die? Man, you'd want him wiped out. By the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. You're going to die, and he's saying the whole land's going down the tubes. Man, I don't like this guy. Then he says something to Amos. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer. You know, old thou prophet. You know, sort of pointing up, poking the finger at him a little bit. Go flee into the land of Judah, and there eat bread. Go down there and eat. Go down there and do your thing. Go prophesy down in that part. Get out of this area up here in the north. Get south, boy! You know, what you doing up here? It's probably southern anyway. So anyway, what you doing up here? Get out of here! Verse 13, prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. I don't want to hear your mouth up here anymore. He was a powerful priest. For it's the king's chapel, and it's the king's court. Let's put a couple of things up on the screen. Here it is, Amaziah the prophet. Number one, he tells on Amos. We've already seen that. Number two, he tells off Amos. You know what I mean? Get out of God, Jack. So he's telling them off. And this really, when I read this, I've read it before, but it just sickened me. Made me sick to my stomach. Are y'all all right, son? Okay, good, here we go. He said, this is the king's chapel. This is the king's court. Boy, that bothered. The holy place of God up there in Bethel. It's the king's chapel. It's the king's court. Let me tell you something. The earth is the Lord's. Amen.
Amen.
And the fullness thereof.
Amen.
This don't belong to any king. It belongs to King Jesus. Amen. And here's a guy that's representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, supposedly a sorry, no good, sold out priest, saying, get out of here. This is the king's, go to the king's chapel. I could not stand that. I mean, something's going to happen. You can just feel it, King. Something's going to happen. Is Amos going to back up? Is Amos going to be weak? Well, it's a big figure about to pop somebody.
Here we go.
We'll see what happens. So Amos fired back. I like Amos. Can you see why I like Amos? I like Amos.
And then he fires back.
Who?
Here's what he does. Verse 14 through 17.
This is a little rough. Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman. I got a feeling that if you looked at old Amos, his skin was probably a little tan, arms probably about like this, you know what I mean? Probably in pretty good shape, and just my view, my vision of Amaziah would be that he's sort of a little fat, you know, a little lazy, life's been easy. I believe Amos would whoop his butt. Excuse me. I really believe it. If they went head, head, I'd put my money on Amos. All right, here we go. Right off there, here we go. Let's go on. Then answered Amos and said, I was no prophet, neither prophet's son. I was a herdman. I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit, which is figs. I was a fig picker. You ought to be proud of what you did, the fig picker. I was a fig picker. Here we go. The Lord took me as I followed the flock. Okay? The Lord took me. The Lord said unto me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Okay? Hey, dude, I didn't grow up doing this. I wasn't like you as a hand-me-down thing or something or inherited somewhere. That ain't the way it happened. I was happy at what I was doing. I was happy on the farm. I was happy picking figs. I ain't real, you know, I don't appreciate what you're saying to me, dude. Okay? God called me to do this. It ain't something I want to do. God told me to do it. Get out of my face. And that's sort of how he's talking. Now, that's how I see it. Now, we got Dr. Lindo here with us. He's sitting dead center this morning. And he's quite a scholar of the scripture, so I don't know. If you go to this, I know I'm off track. But he did like this, though, just then. So, all right. Boom. Let's keep moving. Verse 16. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Okay. You don't want me prophesying anymore up here? You don't want me to talk about Israel anymore? Isaac, you want me to go talk about him anymore? Okay, fine. I'll talk about you. Thy wife shall be a harlot. That's the word for prostitute. Your sons and daughters are going to fall by the sword. Your land's going to be divided by line. And you're going to die in a polluted land, and Israel's going to go into captivity. Fourth of his land. Let's keep noticing the points. What did he say? Amos fired back. He said, I didn't ask for the job. We said that. I'm a pig picking preacher. You say shut my mouth about Israel? Okay. Fine, let's talk about you, dude. Here's what he said. Move it again. We've read it. Hear it one more time. Here's what he said. Your wife's going to be a harlot. That's pretty tough, ain't it? That's pretty tough, ain't it? I mean, it was all easy when I said, get out of Dodge, shut your mouth. I told the king on you, man, my wife's going to be a prostitute. Yes! That had to hurt, don't you think? Number two, your sons and daughters are going to be killed. Number three, you're going to die in a polluted land. See, the priests were so particular about how clean everything was, and they couldn't have anything to do with the heathen or anything like that. They said, you're going to die in a polluted land. Everybody around you is going to be heathen. You're going to be the odd duck out. Next, he says Israel's going to go into captivity. I think that's pretty much what we have to say about Amos, about who he is, a little bit about his background. Let's skip on Raj. Now, having said that, we got a little history. We got a little bit about Amos. Do you feel like you know a little bit about Amos now? Amos, tough guy or weak guy? Somebody tell me. Tough guy. All right? You think Amos is serious? You really think Amos is called of God, or is he just playing games? He's called of God. He's serious about what he's doing. I don't necessarily know if Amos likes what he's doing. You know what I mean? He was happy where he was, but God called him, and he did it. But he said Israel would be judged, and that's what I want to do. That's what this book majors on, and we've got a few minutes left. So now let's figure out what was the major problem. Why was this book written? Let's major now on this minor. Let's see what it is. What was their major problem? Boom! Pride! Did we see that last week or what? I'm hearing something here in these major and these minor prophets.
I'm hearing God judges what? Pride. And if God judges His own people, last week we could see it was a heathen nation hurting His people. Okay, well, God judged them. Yeah, that makes sense. But guess what? He judged His own people for pride. And you don't think He's going to judge you and I for that? You just can't have a relationship with God when you're full of yourself. That's what these minor prophets are really majorly saying to us. You can't have a relationship with God when you're full of you. And let's see what the Scripture goes on to say here. Chapter 6, we back it up a chapter. Woe to them that are eased in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, talking of all of Israel, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Woe to these guys that are at ease in Zion. Pass ye to Calmah and see. Go from there to Hamath. These are literal places. We've been there, been through this area. Go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? So what's the first thing we see is pride. Israel, they thought they were untouchable. Secondly, they were chief of the nations. See, they were fat and they were really ruling again, right? This is the greatest it's ever been since Solomon. Look at this. They're chief. Third, they were the chosen of God. Look at us.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, look at all of us. You see what I'm saying?
They were full of themselves. Last, they needed their memory job. Have you ever had your memory jog a little bit? God ever done a little jogging on you? You know what I'm saying? To whack you a little bit, get you to see that you're not such a big cheese after all. Boy, He's done that to me. You know? That's what they needed. And so that's what happened here. Let's see it. Keep moving, Raj. He mentions these cities, Calmah, Hamath, Gath. These cities were all near them, and they were all destroyed. And so he brings it up. He said they've all been destroyed. And so here's the point. These were bigger and badder than you guys. These were bigger and badder than you. The point is this. You're so full of pride, you're not going to stand. God's going to take you out. God's going to bring you down. It's going to happen. Keep moving. So that's the first thing. The major problem that Israel had, say it with me, was what? Pride. I firmly believe that's the major problem we have. That's Clark's major problem. If you think that that's your major problem, God's in charge. I'm not. You know? I submit to His authority. I submit to His word. I have to submit to His will. I have to humble myself and He's going to lift me up. There's no other way. God's big on God. I said it last week. He ain't big on you. He ain't big on me. He's the creator of the universe. He'll be fine with or without you. Okay? So why do we even go there? Humble yourself. Jesus, if you said you're the only way, the only truth, the only life, that's the end of the argument. Right there. I don't understand everything about all these other religions, but I know this. If you said you're the only way, then you're the only way. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we can call it compassion. We can call it political correctness. Anytime we argue with God's Word, you can call it, I don't understand. What I call it is this: when you and I get full of ourselves and we think we know better than God. Pride. Boy, it's hard. Let's look at the next thing. Presumption. Look at the next scripture. Amos 6:3. You that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. What does that mean? Evil day. They put away the evil day. They put away the day of reckoning. They put away judgment day. I've done that many times in my life, where things are just insane. You start thinking about yourself, going your own way, not even realizing we're going to give an account for the way we're living. We're going to give an account for why we're on this planet. We have a purpose. Are we fulfilling it? There's going to be a reckoning day. They were so happy that Jeroboam was leaving. And we're being people and we're getting rich. Wow, wow, wow. And they just put far from them every day of judgment. Every day of account. There was a resumption. Let's keep moving. Out of sight, say it with me. Out of mind. Isn't that the way it is? We get so busy in our world down here that we live sometimes as if God doesn't even exist. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus. We see Jesus as that suffering Savior on the cross. It's beautiful. But you know what? He's resurrected. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. John saw him in the book of Revelation. He had eyes, say it with me if you know it, as a flame of what? Fire. We're going to stand before him one day. We're going to give an account. They just presumed it was always going to be this way. We can do what we want. We're in charge. I can tell him, Amos, he will go away. And we'll live happily ever after. Presumption. He said, you caused the seed of violence to come near. What does that mean? Don't you see the way they were? Chapter 8, verse 4. The people, the priests, the people that were in charge, look at what they did. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy. They're supposed to help the needy. They're taking advantage of the needy. Does that happen in our world today, yes or no? People make a living on the backs of the needy. And quite frankly, the church does. It's horrible. Take advantage of people. Even to make the poor of the land to fail. Look at this. Saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by the sea. What's this all about? They couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over so they could go selling again, cheating people. And I hate to say it, and it's not true, I don't think, but Jewish people today still wear that attitude that people have about it, you know? We say it, people pick about it. You know, you're crooked, you know, people even make comments like, you know, you're as tight as a Jew and all that kind of stuff. Where does it come from? It comes from this attitude right here. They couldn't wait to get back out and sell. They couldn't wait to put a little on the balance and not give you a good deal. It's all about themselves. Like I said, I don't believe that's true today in the Jews, but I can't stand when we make comments about racism and people like that. It's horrible. But you can see where it came from. What else did they do? What's this? That we may buy the poor for silver. And this is a part, this always hit me every time I read it. I'm sure it's in our fundamental here with us today. They sold the needy for a pair of shoes. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a human being not being worth any more than a pair of shoes? And can you imagine it's those that are religious that are saying, I'll give you him. I'll give you this person. You can have your shoes. How sick is that? So, God says, this ain't going to fly. He's saying, this ain't going to fly. This attitude ain't going to fly. Okay? The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. That verse really shook me, that verse right there. I will never forget any of their works. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Let's keep moving. They were presumptuous. He said, I will never forget any of their works. I will never forget any of their works. I just want to say that to us this morning. If you're here today, I know this is a little tough message, but it's what the minor prophet had to say. If you're here today and you say, I'm a good person, why do I need to trust Jesus Christ? Why do I need to do it that way? I do good to my neighbor. I give a little bit in the offering plate. I'm nice. I try to raise my family right. Here's why you need to get saved. Here's why you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Put it back up, Raj. Because God will never forget any of your works. We forget the things we've done. We forget the evil we've done. We forget the lies we've told. But God doesn't ever forget. There's only one way He forgets. When you say, wash me in the blood of Jesus. Wash my sins away. Because God never forgets. Let's raise a hand here in this room if you've ever done anything wrong. Can I see your hand? Let's try another test. How about this? How many have done something wrong years ago, but honestly, you're sure there's something you did wrong you forgot about? Can I see your hand? God never forgets. He never forgets. That's why The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have to trust Jesus Christ. I didn't make up the plan. I'm just the delivery man. Okay? The Bible says you must be born again. It ain't going to fly. And yet you're better than me. Many of you, I believe it. I know it. But guess what? Doesn't matter. What matters, are you born again? Have you put your faith in Christ? Has your sins been washed away by the blood of Christ? That really hit me hard when I was studying. I think it's beautiful. I think it's worth the whole message right there. Right there. As far as I'm concerned. I need to trust the Lord because He never forgets. And I love it. He writes my name down the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Woo, I like that. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. Next. Righteousness passed right over this. There's a lot of scripture. This is Amos 3, 1 through 8. Check it out sometime. It just sort of solidifies that point. They thought they were big and bad. They thought they were doing great. But God says, the lion roars. The lion roars. It's been happening. I've been trying to warn you. You wouldn't listen. And He goes on to say, the lion's at the door. Now I'm eating your lunch. Pretty much what He's saying. Okay? Next, let's keep looking. What was the third thing? Third judgment? Here it is. Pleasure. So it was pride, full of themselves, presumption, just living as if God didn't exist. Oh, there'll never be a judgment. No big deal. Now pleasure. Amos 6, 4 through 6. That lie upon the beds of ivory. These are talking about the priests, those in charge, the people there. They stretch themselves upon their couches. They eat the lambs out of the flock, the calves out of the midst of the stall. These things are for sacrifice. Boy, that's a good liquor, but let's eat that one, Earl. Okay. That chant to the sound of the viol, that invent to themselves instruments of music like David. Man, they got their music playing. Everything's going great. They're just having a great time. Hey, look at this. Forget the glasses. They drink wine in bowls. They really get sauced. Come on. These are the people that are the religious. Give me a break. They anoint themselves with the cheap ointments. See, these ointments, many of these ointments were for the Lord. For the Lord's heart. Ooh, come here. Yeah. Ooh, that smells good. Wait a minute. Yeah. Mmm. You just know this ain't gonna fly, don't you? But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They're not grieved for their own people. So let's see what happens. You're full of pleasure, here's the points. They're extravagant in their stuff. They were lazy, laying on them couches. Family, baby. Here it goes. Extravagant in their meals. Love to party and get wasted. And last thing, they had no concern for others. We're majoring on the minors. I think sometimes we get a little full of pleasure sometimes, don't you? This is a word for us today. I mean, it's really not all about us, isn't it? So, it's not about us. I'm not saying you can't have nice. I'm not saying you don't, you know, you work, you get stuff. But here they were, they're taking offerings, things like this, just spending it on themselves. They're lazy as the day is long. You know, everything. They love to party. What do you have a purpose in this world right now? Is it just so you sit back and feel good? This is ugly talk today with Uncle Gary Ainge. There's a lost and dying world out there. We have a reason for living. It's not just, I want you, I mean, look at me. I live in a great house. I'm doing great. But guess what? That's okay. You can be comfortable. I don't have a problem with that. But are you serving the Lord? You're doing something with it. Are you just getting more and more and more and more and more and more? Are you like the guy in the scripture who said, I'll tear down this barn, so I'll build bigger barns. I will eat, I will drink, I will be merry. God says, you a fool. This night your soul's required from you. You deader than a hammer. Somebody told me a story the other day. Tragic. Young man just passed away. Not a car wreck, had a bad accident at this time, any time able. We just never know. We ought to care for other people, not be full of pleasure all the time. There's a greater purpose to living. Last thing is this. Prison. We're done. Prison. Verse 7. Therefore now shall they go captive. with the first that go captive. The banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. Finally, God says you're going into captivity. This was the message of Amos. Those who lived in luxury are going to lose their liberty. Number two, those who trusted in the land and not the Lord will be carried away. What's your trust in today? Number three, those who thrived on pleasure will be deprived of even the smallest pleasure. The party's over. Number four, those who are lazy are going to work now. They'll be making some grit. They'll be working real hard. Next, those who put the evil days far away are going to find them very close. They're going to go into captivity first. Here's what the Bible says. Did it happen? Did it happen? Let's read the Bible. 2 Kings talks about the kings. What happened to the kings? Jeroboam was the king. Here it is. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hands of spoilers until he cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David. And they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. We've been talking about it this morning. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them. What happened? Until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he said by all his servants the prophets, so was Israel carried away out of their own land to where? To Assyria unto this day. Book of 2 Kings. This little book, Amos, put on the judgment of God on these four things, on these three things, and finally they went into prison. So let's close. So what we learn? What we learn besides this? Don't mess with a big picture preacher.
I learned that thing.
Don't mess with that guy. What else did we learn today? Here's what we learned. Number one, can you say it with me? Say it with me, would you?
Minimize.
Say it one more time, would you?
Minimize.
It's going to be something you're going to continue to battle your whole life. Minimize it. Number two, say it with me. Don't presume on future. Did you know what God's given you today? Live it today for Him. Amen? People wonder, oh, the Christian life's so hard. Listen, just let's break it down to a 24-hour period, all right? Live for the Lord today. Think about today. You came to church. Amen? Praise God. Live every day for the Lord. Don't presume on the future. Here's the last one. Seven, life's more than a party. Is that how you're living life? Just a party, big deal, it's all about you, all about me, that's the way it is. Life's more than that. You have a purpose greater than all you can get, all you can do. How about people? People matter? Lastly, avoid prison. Avoid prison. How many of you don't want to go to prison? Is he? Avoid prison. There way to go, dude. He's getting it. Amen. Avoid prison. Here's how you avoid prison. Here it is. Know the Lord never forgets our sins. He never forgets our sins. He never forgets our sins unless we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you avoid prison today. Know that the Lord never forgets our sins. Now, you got it plain English today. You got it on the screen. You can see it with your eyeballs. Know the Lord never forgets your sins, even if you have. He ain't forgot them. The only way He forgets your sins is when you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Case closed. That is it. That's the way you get clean today. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much. Good morning today.